B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Coming up next at 10, Sports Talk while you're on the clock. Zolak and Bertrand. Right now, it's Toucher and Rich on Boston's Home for Sport. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The kickoff to Gunnar Olszewski back in the end zone. He takes it out, runs it right to the 10. Olszewski to the 15-yard line. And he is undercut. Tackled on the run back.
No. Just put him on the 5. I put the arms out sideways.
Give me a touchback every time.
The receiver did not establish back in bounds with 2 feet prior to possessing the ball. Therefore, it is touchback. The ball he placed at the 25-yard line.
Well, so I guess when he lined up the football, he was on the back line. He was on the end line.
He's so bad. His return can't even count.
So after a 9-play, 80-yard drive.
This is how bad it is.
For the Texans.
He's out of bounds when he catches it. He returns it.
Both feet are on
the end line. Seen it all.
Yeah, I don't think it's out of line to say that Gunner kid sucks.
Nice story for about a year. Now not so nice.
No. Has he done anything ever? And yeah, I'm being serious.
He returns kicks and punts. I think he caught one pass.
Okay.
Something like that. Not very involved in the offense.
Has he ever had a quality return?
I got to believe so, yeah. Punts and kicks.
Define quality.
I haven't gotten it out to the 40?
Like to the 40? Well, let's ask Bob Sosi.
Sure
maybe
has.
He would know.
Sure he has.
Because, I mean, we all can't watch the Braxton Berrioses of the league every week, who has the helmet like the guy from the Jetsons. Bob Sosi is the voice of the New England Patriots on 98.5 The Sports Hub Patriots Radio Network. And Bob's hot takes are powered by a little something called Bigelow Tea. If you want to know what keeps Bob's voice in peak condition, it's his hot cup of Bigelow Tea before every game. Hot takes and hot tea. Bigelow Tea. Tea proudly! Exclamation point. Bob joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Has Gunnar Olszewski ever had a quality return in your recollection?
His longest return, and I think it was a year ago, was 33 yards.
I stand corrected. The man's a beast.
But it has been a problem for this team, no doubt about it, the last couple of years, guys. And I said it yesterday on the broadcast. Since Cordarrelle Patterson left, and he's one of the best to ever do it.
Still
with
is.
With Brad and Bolden primarily, and then Gunnar Olszewski. With an offense that has very little margin for error, not having any kind of return game is critical. It's an extra first down. It's however many offensive plays you need to execute on top of the ones that you already have to execute to get downfield. And again, this is a team like, you know, for example, yesterday, their best starting field position was their own 29-yard line. And again, with an offense that, you know, doesn't have a lot of big plays in its repertoire and needs to drive the ball downfield, You have to have something else, something better in the return game, and they just didn't get it.
All right, Bob, out of all the questions that come out of yesterday's game, the biggest one for me was, why is it that after starting the game looking the way this team should have played, Damian Harris getting heavily involved, why did they abandon the run game against the worst run defense in the league?
The question was asked whether Damian Harris was injured after the game or if that was a factor in the play calling. Bill Belichick said no. He had been bothered, of course, by an ankle injury the previous couple of weeks and a chest injury. Maybe there was some aggravation to one of those or a different kind of ailment. But the first two series, 7 rushes, 36 yards. And then in the rest of this first half, I think his last carry, his only other carry, was at the 12:58 mark. And in the second half, ran it 3 times for 4 yards. And that was a question, you know, we posed and search for an answer to throughout the broadcast. And as the game went along, it looked like the Texans, when the Patriots did run it, you know, their safeties were very aggressive. The Patriots ran the crack toss, that toss to the short side of the field with the receivers coming back on the crack back blocks, and the Texans were ready for it. A couple of key losses on first down, and I think that was a big factor in the game. The Patriots had too many negative plays, including a couple of holding calls on first down in the second half in particular. And you're right, they didn't play to their strength throughout for whatever the reason, whereas the Texans did play to their strength. It was the passing game, big plays in the passing game. I think Watson had 7 completions for 20-plus yards against the Patriots defense, which has given up a lot of big plays this year.
All right, so here's the way to watch the Patriots for the rest of the season, if you ask me. Someone who enjoyed a game yesterday, someone who enjoyed the Jets-Charger game as a Jet fan. I actually found a way to enjoy it. And the way that I do that is I go, who are the guys that might stick around? Because this Patriots team is as everyone knows, not this year's a wash. Who is advice from someone who has studied the team, who should fans be looking at, and who did you look at yesterday in terms of young players and come away happy?
Well, you start with the guy that Rich just asked about, I think, in posing that question, Damian Harris on offense. You know, I think that the offensive line certainly has some young players that are going to be foundation pieces up front for this team. Unfortunately, Isaiah Wynn got hurt yesterday, and, you know, he hasn't had enough time on the field to say that, you know, it was a hit on that first-round pick, but when he is out there, I think he's a pretty good player, although I didn't think the offensive line played especially well yesterday. I think that there are, you know, some guys on the defensive side that you look to as first and second year players that I'd like to see their roles evolve, and they include Kyle Duggar and Chase Winovich. I think in the secondary, you know, the J.C. Jackson is a guy that they've got to sign as a restricted free agent in the very near future if they're going to keep him around. And Jonathan Jones has been a nice player in his role. But, you know, I think this is a team that, has a lot of guys that the jury will be out on for some time. That includes, you know, all the guys in this year's draft class outside of the two offensive linemen, Huron and Owenu. And I think they have, you know, they have two nice players right there, late draft picks at both in the sixth round. But the tight ends, the two rookie tight ends, you know, we don't know about them. I think we'll tell next year when they have a full spring and a full off season in the program, and then a regular training camp and preseason. But I think there are too many guys that the questions are still open ended about.
Well, what about Cam? Because when you're talking about the future, we're kind of in a weird spot right now where you're wondering whether or not Cam is in the future plans for this team. And I don't know what the deal is going to be with, you know, Garoppolo, whether he's going to be available and whether they still want him. But Cam Newton seems to be trying to do whatever he can to, I mean, he's been playing okay over the past couple of weeks. He's been pretty good. I thought yesterday he had a good game.
Let him stick around. Sure.
Yeah. I mean, so what do you think's happening now between Bill and what he thinks of Cam and his future on this team?
Yeah. I said Friday at Felger and Maz that if he continues to make progress, and, you know, based on what we're hearing out, the praise has been so effusive from both Bill and Josh McDaniels. You know, to me, taking it at face value, or even a little less than that, even with a grain of salt, I still have to think that, you know, there's enough there in their eyes at this point in time, in their minds, that they would probably like to have Cam stick around if they could. Of course, it's all dependent on what kind of a deal they could sign him to. And would like to work with him, you know, to maybe clean up some things mechanically, get him in the program for a full off season, and you know, let him really immerse himself. But on the other hand, you know, the play is so inconsistent. Even in yesterday's game, you know, as good as the numbers look on the surface, 26 of 40, 365 with a touchdown, no turnovers. I mean, so many hidden yards lost with low passes, you know, checkdowns and screens, you know, that are really a big part of their offense, and balls at the feet of receivers, balls short-hopping receivers. Those are plays he's going to have to really clean up the second half of this season because, you know, again, too many times yesterday they're starting with a 2nd and 10 or they're you know, he's taking some sacks where he's not recognizing the pressure. Now, some of that may be on the offensive line where guys are coming in completely untouched, but as a quarterback, you know, he's got to develop a better awareness of that. So, but I do think you're right. I think, you know, what are the options for him? he was nobody wanted him until July when the Patriots signed him to a one-year deal at a bargain basement rate. What are the options for them, really? And I think if you're looking for a quarterback to be a bridge quarterback, you know, he's as good as any out there right now for them in their situation, so that they can try to draft a quarterback and develop a quarterback and not have to reach for a guy next year and try to rush him into a situation that's going to be a difficult one.
He did hit on one long ball to Demir Byrd, and we played the sound clip earlier, and Scott Zolak got not a little excited, really excited, and we were worried about your safety. Is everything okay?
Well, thankfully, again, I had that buffer between Zoe and me, not just the plexiglass, but Mark Capello, our producer. I think, you know, he might have taken a blow or two, but I'm doing okay as far as I know. I mean,
but there was something weird yesterday that was tweeted out. It was a photo of what's going on. There was sandwiches on the floor.
Scott, you guys don't know this, and especially you, Rich, because you're not here. Scott is in a Italian hoagie heaven. Scott every day comes in here now with a toasted Italian hoagie. He loves it more than anything in the world.
Yeah,
and
but
there it was right there on the floor.
Like a space heater?
Having fun.
Well, two things. First of all, on his way to the broadcast booth, I do have to give him credit because apparently the Reds now they're still practicing in preparation for their playoff.
Apparently, yeah, they are.
Apparently. Play tomorrow night, Bob.
Yeah, come on, Bob. It's on the radio station.
Let me rephrase. Definitely they're playing, and apparently they had some extra food, the grab-and-go meals for the players that Zoe was aware of and used his connections in catering to have delivered to our booth. So, yes, definitely the Reds are playing. Congratulations. Great play-in win the other night. All the best against the top seed.
You were about to get a call from a certain person with the last name Kraft.
We don't want that.
I'm in trouble now. so he comes into the booth last night or yesterday afternoon. He's wheeling this huge catering cart full of salads and sandwiches that he got.
Balls in all of it.
Right, but you're right. Before he got there, he picked up his hoagie, and I didn't see this during the game, but I saw the pictures afterwards. Yes, he opened up the hoagie and laid it on the floor, not even a plate underneath it or even a napkin, I think, and using a space heater was trying to warm up his sandwich.
Dead bugs in that thing just falling into the top of it.
It was funny. It was of no surprise. He goes to the grocery store next door every day, and he gets himself an Italian sub. And he comes in, and the reason I know is because I'm jealous. There's nothing like a nice toasted Italian sub, and he has one every day. But you know the Revs are big league because there was bologna on that thing. Not a lot of bologna on the Italian subs.
Yeah, and he smothers it in mayo too, doesn't he?
That I don't know. I only go so far as the toaster oven process, and then beyond that. It's a free-for-all. Whatever Scott wants. Whatever tickles his fancy at that time. Because you don't have to put... One thing you don't have to put mayo on is an Italian sub. Because you can put... Why the excess calories when it's unnecessary? But who knows? That's Scott. That's his big diet. All right. Well, listen. It's gonna. No one's gonna care about you anymore because people don't care about the Patriots. But whatever. You'll still be out there speaking into a void, into the ether.
Let me take the rest of the year off, Bob.
As people frantically wait for the draft. When a BYU quarterback maybe comes
there
to
town. There you go.
But I'll tell you, Bob's hot takes have been powered by Bigelow Tea. If you want to know what keeps Bob's voice in peak condition, it's his hot cup of Bigelow Tea before every game. Hot takes and hot tea. Bigelow Tea proudly. And I'll tell you what, when Bob's around, no balls in the food.
There you
That's
go.
What I got to say. All right, Bobby boy. All right, Sos Master General. Thank you for the time, sir.
All right, thank you, guys. Go Revs.
That's right.
Tomorrow night,
I have my
big playoff game.
I have my pretend English scarf on right now. Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you. There's nothing like going to Atlanta and seeing all the idiots with their stupid whatever scarves on, whatever the hell the name of that team is. Yeah, the United.
Okay. I have a scarf just like I'm in Britain.
Yeah.
It's 80 degrees.
Yeah, they're second place to those idiots, those Maple Leaf fans up in Toronto.
Well, at least Toronto like legitimately probably likes soccer.
They need scarves.
Yeah. Unlike Atlanta that couldn't keep an NHL team, but they're there with
Twice.
Their scarves on like there's no tomorrow.
They lost an NHL
team.
Oh,
love those scarves.
Yeah.
Scarves. You're like, why can't I get a seat at the bar? Oh, no. Well, everyone's got scarves on because they're pretending to like the soccer team. Good. Oh, great. Now, me, I'm a Revs guy. You give me the Revs. They're coming. That's a Cinderella story if they win this year. I'll talk about it all day. Don't worry about it.
Sure.
All right. When we come back, we can talk a little bit about the team that dribbles the ball on the parquet. I'm talking about your Boston Celtics. They got a couple new guys. I mean, if everyone got Teague fever, a Teague tremor, I mean, Jeff Teague, he still plays basketball, apparently.
Just the guy you
want. Snuck on an all-star team, I think, one year.
Yes, he did.
He was about
5 years ago.
Yep, he snuck on one. He was the Mark Chambers of that season. He snuck on a team. But, yep, they got... And Tristan Thompson, by my own mouth, it was just a pipe dream on Friday, but then
I
mentioned
like
Tristan Thompson. Yeah. Yep. I said it out loud microphone that was on. I said, Tristan Thompson. I said, that's the kind of guy... I said, you could get him on the cheap, and then lo and behold, there it is. And I'll tell you, when I saw that, I felt like $1 million. Like, Freddie knocked one out. And everyone on Instagram was like, Fred, yeah, you're the man. And I went, thanks, dudes. And then we went on from there. All right. Listen, if you're driving right now, I'll tell you what. I don't know what it's doing in Nantucket, Rich, but over here it's a little something called rain.
Yeah, it's nasty here, too.
I mean, it's like a living Ziggy cartoon out there. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's become painfully clear.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. I always think this is the Screeching Weasel. I want to be a homosexual, but it's not. I always think that I go, ooh, that's interesting, because this would be a dirty song to play. Mm. Screeching Weasel, Ben Weasel hit a woman in the crowd. Not loved anymore. No longer in, Fat Mike won't talk to him.
By the way, speaking of that kind of world of music, you know what happens on Wednesday?
What's
Skanksgiving.
That? Oh, yeah.
The return of Skanksgiving. We will have that on Wednesday as well.
It's all about the upstroke. Skink, 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 skink. The toasters who played my wedding, I paid them. I paid them myself out of my own pocket. As a 30-year-old man, I paid the toasters to play my wedding. Rich was there.
Mm-hmm.
He had the time of his life.
It's a blast. It was a really, really fun wedding. That was a good one. Yeah. Destination weddings are always a blast.
And now I don't even think you could go to Grand Bahama Island if you want to. I think that all failed. But we stayed for free at the Westin for about 10 years. We had free Westin rooms whenever we wanted them.
Just from all the money that you spent? That's great. That's awesome.
Nick's having a destination wedding, which is just a big pain in the ass because you know it's going to suck. Are you getting married? When are you getting married?
I'm thinking a year from now is what that means.
A year from now?
Yeah, correct?
Next November.
Next November.
Oh, I might be able to have fun at the wedding. We'll see. All right, we'll see how that goes. We'll see how everything's going. But if it's a year from today, then maybe. We'll see. All right, Rich, the Celtics are up to... they're up to some shenanigans. We saw Gordon... We've talked at nauseam today about Gordon Hayward and... you know, that was a ridiculous contract, and John made the point where they were desperate to get a star, and I said, well, when did they get a star? Because Gordon Hayward is under no way, shape, or form, in any sense of the word, a star.
He was the biggest star available, and that's what Michael Jordan saw. I mean, I don't know what the hell he was thinking.
If you go into the jacket store and you want the one with all the patches of the NFL teams and they don't have it, you don't go out with an expensive jacket that you didn't want. And also, I'll tell you what I want from a superstar, a guy who wanted to leave his team because other people got too good. Because you know who that doesn't happen to is elite players.
All right, I'm not going to kill him for why I wanted to leave. Someone gives you $120 million, you leave.
Who's killing Gordon Hayward? I'm not killing Gordon Hayward. I saw Charlotte.
Zolak, like, killing Gordon Hayward. I saw, like, Shaughnessy this weekend calling him Carl Crawford. I'm like, dude, that guy never said anything bad about being
Carl
here.
Crawford made a lot of money for no reason, too. Carl Crawford.
Well, I think he was trying to compare the two, but Carl Crawford was...
Crawford
can't
was
do that.
18 times worse than Gordon Hayward was.
No. See, the Hayward thing, okay, if you want to be mad at anyone this morning, you can be mad at Danny Ainge you can reserve judgment, but get ready to get mad because this could be something that ends up backfiring. Now, we're going to have, not backfiring, but it doesn't make him look good. We're going to have him on, I guess, around this time tomorrow, right? Around 9 o'clock, usually, when we have him on.
Yep.
But, so, the whole situation with that is we don't know what the time is, but if you just go by what we learned and when we learned it this weekend, Danny Ainge could have really cost this team a decent amount of money that they could have used on players or players from another team like the Pacers. So, you know, after Gordon Hayward said that he was going to opt out, according to almost all the reports, he wanted to be a Pacer. And so he said, Danny, if you want to do a sign and trade, fine, let's make this happen. Now, according to Adam Himmelsbach of the Globe, he says that Charlotte can still do a sign and trade, but that was like 2 days ago when he reported that. And the further we get away from that, the worse this makes it look. But when Gary Washburn on Saturday said, this is before he actually went to Charlotte, he said that apparently the Pacers were offering Miles Turner and Dougie McBuckets, but Boston wanted Turner and Warren or Oladipo. That's a big difference. Like, that's a big difference. So apparently Ainge, according to Gary Washburn, said that to them. They went back and started to discuss it. Meanwhile, while that was going on, once again, if you just trust the timelines of how news was broken, which once again, this could all be off, but that's how we learned about it. During that time, apparently Michael Jordan swooped in and called Gordon Hayward in an effort to close the deal for Charlotte. So what you are hearing also is that the Pacers, the most that they were willing to offer was $100 million to Gordon Hayward. Still, I wouldn't have killed him for going, or, you know, the sign trade would have been great. And even if he went someone else for $100 million, but Michael Jordan came in and just said, just whatever you were thinking over there, we're giving you $20 million more. Come with us. And he ended up leaving. The timing is fuzzy, but if he ends up going to Charlotte, and it was Danny Ainge who dragged his feet and didn't take that original deal and was left with nothing, then you absolutely have reason to criticize Danny Ainge this morning. And now, once again, we're going to sit here and we're going to wait to find out if the sign and trade ends up going through. But as of right now, there's nothing. Now, after that all happened, Danny did a pretty good job kind of making up for it a little bit by getting Tristan Thompson. I think that's a great move. Mm-hmm. Fred, you are absolutely right. He was a Celtics killer, and he fills that need. They needed that big man need. And right now, with Tice and Tristan Thompson and Robert Williams, you got a pretty nice little core right there for big men. So
Thompson is energy. He can play defense. Yep. He can guard the perimeter.
He's a double-double machine. You put him in there, he's everything you were looking for at a pretty good price. So that kind of helps soften the blow a little bit. You know, the Teague thing, to be quite honest, I'm not just saying this to be funny. Really, Teague or Wanamaker doesn't really make much of a difference.
It doesn't make a difference to anyone. You are not alone. And I know your sarcastic love of Wanamaker, and it's funny, but you're absolutely right.
They're the same player at this point.
It doesn't matter.
Take a look, and you get a lot of heat. Oh, Jeff Teague, you remembering Jeff Teague from 5 years ago. Take a look at what he did for Minnesota last year. He's Brad Wanamaker is what he is.
Yeah, no, there's no question. He is. And by the way, Wanamaker, obviously a very talented, because Golden State picked him up, and you know, champions recognize champions.
Yeah. Signed him to that big one-year deal, yeah.
that's right. What you do.
Yeah.
But, you know,
maybe he'll lose weight.
And then to kind of make, and we kind of knew this was going to happen, but I'm just glad it finally did, and now we can all rest easy. Tatum got that extension. I learned something yesterday, which is kind of mind-blowing. You know, he just gets a ton of money. It could be up to $195 million. But I saw this last night on Twitter, so it must be true. But apparently, Jason Tatum is 1 month younger than Peyton Pritchard.
Oh,
yeah. The guy they just drafted.
Oh, yeah. That's like the Sam Darnold thing.
Yeah.
Is that like Darnold is younger than Joe Burrow or something like that, or like the same age? Yeah. It's the, it, the yeah, that's, yeah, when these kids come out when they're, you know, 19, 18 years old, that's the deal. Yeah.
So listen, I mean, the question, and John, you know, was talking about this yesterday, and that is, you know, is this a better team today than it was before the weekend started? And to me, I say, listen, losing Hayward, you lost a lot. 19 points a game is hard to replace. And I don't know how well these rookies are going to be able to continue or how they're going to do right away, so I'm just writing them off. But Tatum and Brown will both be a year better. You helped fill the need with Tristan Thompson down low, and you got some legitimate point guard depth. So to be quite honest, as of right now, I don't think they're as good as last year. But if Tatum and Brown can, once again, move up to that next level, and if Kemba remains healthy, then I still really like this team.
That's the key. And we were talking about that. Unfortunately, you had trouble staying with us in the 6 o'clock hour when one of the times you dropped off. That's what I was talking to Fred about, is that in order for the Celtics to go back to where they were last year, which means the Eastern Conference Finals, I'm under no delusions that this team is a championship team next year. But what I am certain of is that in order to get back to the Eastern Conference Finals next season, Kemba Walker has to be healthy for the majority of the year. This kid, Nesmith, has to be good immediately off the bench, because bench scoring still is a problem. Tristan Thompson helps, but you don't run plays for that guy. That guy gets most of his points on putbacks. So you still have problems off the bench. Marcus Smart's a starter now, so you still have that bench problem. Nesmith has to be one of those guys that can get you 12 or 15 points off the bench on any given night in order for this team to go anywhere. The bench problem is still a problem.
As much as the Hayward thing sucks, where it seems like it's looking this way, listen, everything could change, and Himmelsbach said there's still a chance they could do a sign and trade. As much as that sucks, not being able to use that 30
sign and trade,
wait.
Time out. Like, you never answered my question from earlier. Okay, you do the sign and trade, Gordon Hayward to Charlotte. What do you get back that's worth anything?
You know what? You get like a large trade exemption. You know, big
enough
where you can
do
another sign trade.
Point is, you need someone to help you on the floor, and Charlotte doesn't have any of those guys.
At least you get some sort of value. Dude, it sucks. Charlotte had tons of money. That 120, what are you going to do? Right now, you just need anything. Guy came in and just started going, I'll give you hundreds. I'll just throw in cash on him. So you just want anything that you can get back on this. And you know what? A large trade exception, you know, from what all the writers are saying, it's big enough to get a decent sign and trade for a decent player.
Doesn't Caleb help Martin? Me off the bench this year. Sorry.
Do we get Caleb Martin? He had in a game on, he had 19 points against the Heat last game of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Caleb Martin, he's probably available. You can't get Miles Bridges. No. No Miles Bridges for you. Miles Bridges.
What a cluster F of a team the Charlotte Hornets are, though.
They
man.
Don't start Miles Bridges?
No.
I guess Hayward, and they got a small forward, which is what Miles Bridges plays.
Hayward, $30 million.
Boy, they really
a year.
Didn't
Batum,
need
27. Rozier, $19 million a year. And Cody Zeller, almost $16 million a year. I mean, who is running that place?
It's no one who's competent. I mean, think about it. Bottom line, right now, Michael Jordan drafted LaMelo Ball, and he got Gordon Hayward. Those are his two so-called stars for next season. And Charlotte had the third overall pick in this year's draft. The only thing Michael Jordan did was get his team a worse lottery pick. So they'll pick eighth or ninth next year instead of third.
And get a guy who plays the same position as a dude that you drafted high in the lottery 2 years ago. So,
yeah.
He did. I'm kind of not joking. They drafted Miles Bridges with the 12th pick, so I guess. All right, whatever.
Well, Fred, get ready. You're going to have a Chloe sighting, apparently. Kim Kardashian posted on our Twitter, congrats, Tristan. Boston, here we come.
Oh, boy.
I'm on the can. Don't worry, I'm on the can.
Chloe on the can might show up. That's right.
Yeah, I'm still here.
I can't even remember the voice I did to Chloe.
All of a sudden, she's Mark.
Mark Davis.
Mark Davis.
Yeah. Give me the ugly one. That's obviously not related to the other two.
Different father, maybe. Possibly. Who knows?
Yeah, he's a hairdresser that had a face that looks like it was chiseled from stone and left unfinished.
It was Lou Ferrigno-esque.
Lou Ferrigno without the muscles. I love my friends. I love them.
Remember that? That's where you see the guy who's Chloe's dad. And there's no way he's not. Chloe Card. There's a guy in... There's a video that... I can only imagine this being your wife, that, you know, when she was married to the OJ lawyer, she turned like 25, like she was very young, and she already had kids. And it, she does the thing to I Love L.A. where it's I love my friends, missing the whole point of I Love L.A. is ripping apart the city for its homeless problem. And they show like her friends going, we love you. And they sure enough show a guy and you go, oh, that is Khloe Kardashian's father.
Oh, yeah.
Right there in the flesh.
Ooh. Yep, yep.
He is a mirror image of her, and there is absolute, and he's a huge dude. Like, tall. Like, he's a big behemoth of a man. And Khloe, of course, is unfortunately, could eat both of her sisters. So there you go.
All right.
But Tristan Thompson, I'll tell you, if you get a video camera of him at a club, he's getting his unit grabbed just like that. Those girls were feisty. All right, Rich, what is coming up in the old stackaroo? I got to ask. I'd be remiss if I didn't.
Well, Stephon Gilmore explains why he put his house on the market. Disaster on the set of one of TV's biggest game shows. And Dwight Howard does the most Dwight Howard thing possible.
All right, all that is on the way. Here the
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos. Now, more Touch or Rich. Touch or Rich. Touch or Rich. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Oh, we're stacking it up all over this crazy place. Johnny Boy, who brings us this wonderful segment?
Window Nation, Fred. It's their buy two, get two free sale. No down payments, no payments, and 0% financing for 12 full months. Check them out at windownation.com.
All right. If you really want to put in perspective how much money Gordon Hayward will have made in his career, not even in his career, just through this contract that he just signed, or is about to sign, rather, with Charlotte. How about this? By the time that's done, he will have made more career earnings than Tim Duncan and Dirk Nowitzki. And that's like not even that far. I mean, you know, Dirk, what, retired 2 years ago? And, yeah. And Tim Duncan just a couple years? Like, this isn't like comparing it to Michael Jordan, which is always funny because he made under $100 million actually playing. I mean, that's kind of funny, but that's, you know, apples to oranges. It's not the same thing. How about on top of this? If you just take a look at, like, guys who are the greatest in their sport, Tom Brady will have made $285 million by the end of his next season when his contract is done with Tampa Bay. Gordon Hayward will have made $330 million by the
Gordon
end of
Hayward
contract.
Will have made $330 million.
$330 million by the end of his 33-year-old season, which is the end of this upcoming contract.
His wife still bitches about where they're living.
Just to put that in perspective, record for most money earned in NBA history is
still Kevin Garnett.
Still,
right?
But he's only at 343. Kobe's at 328. And you're telling me Gordon Hayward, at the end of this, will have made more money than Kobe Bryant?
How about this? People that Gordon Hayward will have made more money for, money than in their career. Manny Machado, who right now it looks like he's going to end with about 320. Giancarlo Stanton at 317. Verlander at 274. Clayton Kershaw at 251. And David Price at $248 million. So that is exceptional. Good for him. And you know what? Didn't he only really have one All-Star season? Wasn't he only an All-Star once?
He was an All-Star once, and it was the year he became a free agent and came to the Celtics. That year.
And I don't know whether or not he would have been an All-Star if he stayed healthy. But the one thing I do know is that he was only an All-Star once. He's someone who did get a horrible injury. And, man, he has the best agent on the planet. Congratulations to Gordon Hayward. Can't hate Gordon Hayward for getting that money. But holy crap. More than Dirk Nowitzki and Tim Duncan.
More than Kobe Bryant. I can't believe it.
That's more than Kobe, too? Wow.
328 for Kobe.
Well, Kobe's first seasons, he probably didn't get paid much because he was a mid-round lottery pick.
Yes, that's correct.
Middle of the lottery.
Yep.
When did Hayward get picked?
Oh, boy.
Middle of the lottery?
Because I thought he was like right around the same, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, but Kobe's our age.
Yeah, but Kobe, once again, he was still years ticking. Earlier. Oh, my goodness. So there you go. It'll put things in perspective on just how insane the NBA is nowadays. Speaking of insanity, Dwight Howard is just a weirdo. And to be honest, when he did something this weekend, it didn't surprise me at all, but it still is fantastic because only Dwight Howard would do this. So he, on Saturday night, tweeted out a message that said, quote, on Twitter, "I'm staying right where I belong. Laker Nation, I love y'all. Purple and gold never gets old." Moments later, Howard deleted that tweet, and about 20 minutes later, there was a report from Shams Charania that he was signing a one-year deal with the 76ers. I don't know what happened there.
Buckets and buckets of moolah, too.
Yeah, $2.6 million, not really buckets and buckets of moolah.
Buckets
but
of moolah.
But either way, he is, I got to know the history behind what happened there. So
I wonder what it would be like to spend 2 hours like in a car with Dwight Howard.
I don't think I could do it.
You might like it, because he might play the novelty songs you like.
Yeah, but
that gives you a sense of humor.
That lasts about 15 minutes. Man, where's the rest stop? I need to get out.
Like,
he
I think
is
if
a
you
prankster.
Play, if you play, he's the kind of guy who's like giving you Caddyshack quotes all the time.
Oh. Yeah, baby, yeah.
Yeah, he's the guy. He's movie quote guy.
Stephon Gilmore was asked, "Hey, why'd you put your house on the market if you apparently love it here so much?" And Gilmore said this:
"I just wanted to move to the city, so I like the cities. One place I want to go, so that's why I made that decision."
Was that the liar alarm that went off?
He wanted to get in. He wanted to get in the city. Well, the getting's good. That's what he wanted.
Loves the city. Well, congratulations.
Loves the city. They all live in the city. They all want to be here forever.
Ted Johnson yesterday on the post-game show was speculating that he thinks that there's something going on between him and Belichick. I mean, listen, there's smoke, definitely, but...
No, he said the same thing on this show. He says that he thinks that, yeah, him and Stephon, that you get to be a certain age and a certain point in your career, and maybe you butt heads a little bit with the big man. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's what's going on.
So this is something that I actually am fairly shocked has not happened yet. And if anyone who's watched these shows can kind of testify, a man competing on the show Wipeout died earlier this week after competing an obstacle course while filming the series. Now, following the incident that happened this past Wednesday, the contestant... Don't play that fart. That contestant
Wipeout.
Was... I mean, someone died. I'll just let this
start. I suppose you have to sign a waiver. Yeah.
You do, but I mean, I watch those shows, and, you know, my kids love them, and even like shows like Holy Moly.
Well, I never watched them, so I'm in a better position than you are to be sanctimonious about this.
I'm not being sanctimonious. I can't believe that someone hasn't died.
I won't watch them.
They'll have a giant windmill, and like a windmill will crack into someone's head, and you'll see their head like spin back. And then as they fall, they hit their body on something else into the water, and the sound effect's like, wah, wah. And you're saying to yourself, dude, that's like brain damage stuff. Like, how? That doesn't look too
you
soft
watch
for the things that they're hitting.
Yet you and your kids consume it.
Well, the wah, wah makes it a little easier.
I don't find any pleasure in watching people get hurt, but I guess that's what makes me a little bit better than you guys.
It must be the case, but I am surprised that has not happened. So apparently, that is Coulier.
That wasn't real.
Yeah, that was Dave Coulier farting when he was talking.
Fake
to,
news.
Of course,
fake news,
fake farts, fake news, and this story just. I'm going to have to read it and what I imagine this guy's voice sounds like. So the guitarist of Toto, his name is Steve Lukather.
Oh, he's a guy who lived in the studio.
Yeah, he does not like Rivers Cuomo, the lead singer of Weezer, because apparently he tried to reach out to him and say, hey, this is such a crazy thing we got going on with Africa being one of your biggest hits. So I guess that he reached out, and I'll read you the quote as written. And I just imagine him speaking like Jim Irsay for some reason. I tried to reach out to Rivers. I said, hey, man, isn't this funny? Whether you like us or not, it's working out good for the both of us. Silence. The cat refused to talk to me. I'm friends with the biggest rock and roll stars in the world, and this is the only cat that refuses to talk to me. I'm sorry, Rivers. You made a lot of effing money off this. You should be a bit more thankful. And then he added, some of Weezer were cool, but Rivers really hurt my feelings.
Well, he got the drummer with the glasses to talk to him. That just is always around. Yeah, I mean, who would have thought that Weezer could take a hit song, perform it note for note, and have it be a success? I'd rather be in Toto than Weezer, to be honest with you. Toto's a cooler band than Weezer, I will say that right now, in my opinion.
Well, I don't mind Toto. Toto's all right.
At least Toto just, we're like, we're studio nerds. Apparently that's how they all came about, is they were just like total session dudes that just, you know, went to Guitar Center and learned everything. And then said, you know what, we're going to put together our own band. Screw you guys. Mm-hmm. We might not be the best looking, but I'll walk around the library and spin a globe in our video if I have to.
Toto has two really good songs. They got Toto and I Like Rosanna. That's a good song. And then it gets cheesy. Like, Hold the Line is really cheesy. Like, that's not a good song. And then I forget what else they had. Soon as forever that's is right. through, I'll be over you. That's like some 80s, like Chicago wannabe music right there. Not that good.
They went in that direction.
Yeah, well, a lot of pressure from the label. Like, Toto, we need a new hit. We're all relying on you.
Well, not everyone can write The Reason by Hoobastank. So afterwards, he said, I saw Rivers wince. He was talking about, I guess, the one time when their band, he was there. Apparently, they were on stage together performing Africa. And he said that Cuomo's manager told them that the song that they were, that the Africa song was doing well on radio. And he goes, I saw Rivers twice. They initially did it as a goof, but now they realize they'd have to play the song for a lot longer than they thought they would.
Yeah, they did it as a real goof. Yeah, what a funny thing. Again, you took a hit song that's unironically very good and did it note for note. They did it as a, what's the goof? What's funny about it?
What's funny about the goo? Oh, well, because it was that girl who kept asking them to do the song and it went viral. That's why it was a goof. And you know what? They actually did. You know, she kept asking for Africa. And finally, after a couple months, they're like, all right, here's the Toto song. And they ended up releasing Rosanna instead. And that was part of the goof. And then they said, okay, here it is. About the next day, they released Africa. It was kind of all of a joke.
Now that you've given me the backstory, I realize that it was.
You're not guffawing at the goof?
No, that they took a song that people still like and still is in radio play and in several formats and did a note-for-note cover? No, I'm missing the joke. No, if I get it when you do Faith by George Michael and make it super metal. That I get.
Like The Biscuit?
Yeah. I mean, at first you're like, what is he doing? Like, this does, what is, I don't like this song. This isn't what I expect from Limp Bizkit. And then it goes, I gotta have faith! And you go, oh.
Yeah!
Then you go, there's my boys. They almost.
Yeah!
But they didn't. They didn't let me down.
No, they did not.
Dedicated to you, Ben Stiller. You are my favorite. I told you.
Ben Stiller shout outs. Ben Stiller says, please don't.
You are my friend. I told you I would put you in my song. Wait a second. I thought you were way too much of an artist to do that. You mean in exchange for me being nice to you, you'll say my name in your song? I never thought you capable of such a thing. All right, ladies.
Yeah!
All right. He's alarmingly thin right now.
Dave Coulier.
Dave Coulier, how dare you?
That wasn't real.
It was real. Enjoy the rain. Only two more days and then Thanksgiving. Maybe you'll fry up a turkey like your boy here. Who knows? That'll do it for us.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.